Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I'm really pleased that I'm sitting opposite you because I think we've got a sensational sporting situation that has occurred as recently as overnight, and it's to do with Nick Kyrgios and the US Open.
Who?
Now, I know he's not your favourite bloke, but under these circumstances, I'm not sure that it's our good Australian mate, Nick, who's at fault. For our listeners who aren't aware of it, he beat, I'm not very good at my French, Pierre Herbert, the Frenchman in the second round. He actually finished up, he dropped the first set, he was down 4-6. He won the tiebreaker 7-6, 8-6, which is the 8 points to six. Then won the third set 6-3, and then the last one 6-love. What was sensational was evidently he wasn't travelling too well and he'd done the normal spit the dummy and sitting in his chair sulking and I, from what I can gather, he even didn't chase, you know, a couple of serves and whatever. And would you believe the chair umpire, Mohammed Lalyani, got out of his chair.
I know very well.
Well, that's why we're about to hear from you. Got out of his chair and went down and seemingly told the lad to lift his game. Now, what's going on there?
Well, it is, you've contradicted yourself there, though, Rick, because it was Kyrgios's fault because he wasn't trying. Well, you can't not try. There's a rule in tennis that you've got to try.
But is the umpire entitled?
I wouldn't think so.
Well,
I wouldn't think so.
And may I...
But why isn't he trying?
May I? No, don't. Let's duck the question.
No.
May I ask you, as an experienced umpire from the Australian Open downwards, who is in charge of the match?
Well, the umpire is, but he should have defaulted in then for not trying. But
you told me that this guy, Mohammed, he's a nice guy.
Nice guy. Good bloke.
So he's taken the friendly way out. Is that right?
I think he's that nice a guy that he would have just said, look, Nick, you know, perhaps we could try a little bit harder. And whether he did or he didn't, well, he obviously did because he won 6-love in the last set. So perhaps Mohammed could be a tennis coach in his next career.
Well, he could. I think the great controversy, and I know that you've come in from a hard day's work.
Oh, have I? What?
is that the tennis world's in a bit of a furor over the whole thing. Because I guess we're going to start playing with the English language and whether we can define or want to define the word coaching. There's part of the tennis world accusing our dear friend Mohammed of coaching him.
Oh, wouldn't have thought that'd be coaching, would it? I mean, just telling a guy to try, he's got to actually try, or I'll default you. That's what he could have said. How do we know? He might have said, if you don't start trying, you're going to be defaulted. I don't know.
Our dear friend Nick on international television at the press interview afterwards suggested that maybe he was feeling a little bit flat, but he claimed he hasn't had a coach for about 4 years and he certainly wasn't coaching him.
Well, who in the hell would want to coach him? Let's face it, Rick. Hey, who would coach him? What I need to do is get Mohammed's number and perhaps he could have a talk to Port Power because I reckon there's a few weeks we haven't tried either. If he can talk Kyrgios, right, surely he can talk.
Dear me. Well, he obviously...
Get his number.
he obviously has had a fair bit of success. He's turned the kid around.
Well, he might have a career in coaching.
Yeah,
or motivation, Nick, speaking.
I did think it was rather funny at the press conference when Nick pointed out quite strongly that he hadn't had a coach and he coaches himself.
Well, I wouldn't have thought he would have listened to anybody in the last
years.
Well,
funny you should say that because in the interview he also said he wasn't paying too much attention to what he was saying.
I wouldn't have thought he would be. The arrogance of him, I wouldn't have thought he'd be listening to anybody.
Well, now that we've cleared up your relationship with Nick, maybe you have got an opinion about one of the tennis players that you truly do admire, and that's Roger Federer, who's come out and said that he thinks it's one of the worst things he's seen on the professional tennis circuit, and he certainly won't let it happen next time. And guess who Federer's playing in round three?
Oh,
Nicky Kyrgios. So what do you reckon about that?
Oh, well, I don't think there's much. I wouldn't have thought there'd be too much in it, because I tell you, Muhammad is an absolute gentleman, and I couldn't see him going beyond the rules of tennis. And I wouldn't have thought there'd be a hell of a lot in it. I think it's probably blown out of proportion, as was the young girl that had to... Did you see that, Rick, during the week? She's changed her top in between games, gone out and realised she's had it, got it on back to front. So she's just quickly whizzed it around. I mean, you saw her sports bra, but it wasn't really a, you know,
no,
a revealing
was,
bra.
It was, no, it
They've
wasn't.
Actually gone off and coded her, a code violation. And
To be honest, I thought it was one of the best things I've seen in women's tennis for a long time.
At least it was entertaining.
Well, I was going to say, it's about the first exciting bit of women's tennis. I shouldn't have said that.
But to the US Open, they have reneged and said that they should have just shut up about it and let it go, because they've blown it out of proportion.
I can't believe that the press are being accused of blowing things out of proportion.
Yeah,
staggering.
That's the US Open it was. So, that was just... Yeah. I mean, and I think this is the same, I think. And he doesn't try. So, I mean, he should be defaulted.
Well,
if he's not trying, he gets defaulted.
Right.
That's that's the rules.
Maybe your good friend Muhammad is very guilty of a very poor chair umpiring performance by not defaulting it.
Well, or giving him the benefit of the doubt and saying, I've got around this, haven't I?
You're trying.
Around the benefit of the doubt and just saying, hey, Nick, it doesn't look like you're trying. Let's, you know.
Lift your game.
Yeah, get on with it.
Well, obviously, the kids listen to him.
Oh, away he went. I think his motivational
speaking of tennis tournaments.
Yes.
Which tennis tournament never closes?
Oh, I was gonna wreck this joke, but I won't.
The US Open.
What about the Aussie Open?
Well, and you know what? Wimbledon is over when it's Wimbledon done. You like that?
Oh, no.
It's a pretty average
they're
one.
Not
that
getting
really
any better,
they're
are
not,
they?
They're not.
Hang on, our producers. Oh, turning your nose
your head
up.
A bit.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on a roll of jokes, we might as well go through one more before we get on to the AFL. Chairman of the sporting club saying, I have been chairman of this club for over 20 years, like my father and my grandfather before me. And all of a sudden there's a voice from the meeting saying, suppose your father and grandfather were idiots, what would you be then? You know what he said? Immediately replied, I'd be standing for treasurer.
We've had better. But anyway, we've got through them. We've got through them. That's all we can say. What about the All-Australian team? Get on a bit of AFL.
AFL and the All-Australian team.
What do you think of that?
Well, let's put it this way. I personally can't see or have any objection to basically the personnel in the side. Now, I know it's a side that never actually plays, but it is beyond me, and I would probably say that kilo for kilo, he's the greatest player in the AFL. But how you can make Lance Franklin captain of that group of people, I don't know.
The way I get it, and I watched it live on Fox, I think it was, he's at 8 All-Australians, and I think it was just a pat on the back to say, buddy, you know, you're one of the greatest players that's put you in a pedestal of, that too. And it's just sort of giving a pat on the back. But that isn't what it should be about. Because the only captain in that side is obviously Shannon Hearn.
And he's one of the favourites, I might say, for the Brownlow, and must have had the best season in his entire career. He's
and
only
a
been
hell of a nice young lad.
Yes, and he comes from the Barossa.
Yes, he does.
And he's been captain of that West Coast Eagles for what? Half a dozen more years?
Yeah, would be now. Yep.
And I just think that's the only bit I find a little bit inconsistent.
They're second on the table, so he's obviously, you know, anything he said has sort of helped him go along.
Yeah.
And, I just think that's a bit of a kick in the bum for him. He wouldn't be disappointed, knowing Shannon like I do. He wouldn't be disappointed at all. But, yeah, I think it would have been a nice little accolade for him if he received the captaincy
as well. So what did you think, Phil? Anyone should be there or shouldn't be there?
They were saying sort of Shane Edwards perhaps is one that was a little question mark there. They said perhaps it's just thanks very much over, you know, he's had 10 years or more over at Richmond. Not an outstanding player, but he's there every week, and his stats show that. Yeah.
Now, tell me, just off air before we started, incredible story you were telling me about one of the Geelong selections. I think our listeners would be interested in that.
Tom Stewart, evidently playing amateur league footy, only a matter of a couple of seasons ago, though he was spotted by an AFL, obviously
talent
Geelong
scout.
Went and played reserves for Geelong reserves, and he was picking up like 40 odd possessions every week, and they thought, hell, this guy, he can play, you know. And even other clubs were starting to look at him to take him in a draft. And anyhow, so they played him, and here he is, back pocket All-Australian, a couple years down the track from playing amateur league footy.
That is a fantastic story. You did share it with me beforehand. It is lovely to see stories like that. The other guy who I'm wrapped in, and maybe it's my bias because I am a long time Sturt supporter, but I like the backup ruckman. What do you reckon?
Yeah, Brodie Grundy. I like that they. You know, Gawn was, let's say they've obviously Gawn was the best, so he was number one ruck. But Grundy was nothing behind him, you know, that close behind him. And they've given him a spot on the on the interchange, which is, I think, a good thing.
Well, I know I come from yesteryear when footy was a very different game to the one that's played now. But I think maybe if both the Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide had backup ruckman during the season, they might both. Well, you know, I still can't believe that you don't have two ruckmen, particularly when you've got four blokes sitting on a bench.
Mm.
And so I don't think there's anything unusual about. You know, the only thing that's really different, or at least the way I'd do it today, as against yesteryear when you and I were playing, is that obviously you couldn't have the rotations you've got now. So you still had two ruckmen, but one of them rested in the forward pocket while the other one was rucking.
And look at how Paddy Ryder can mark and kick. He kicks a goal beautifully.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there'd be no reason why he couldn't rest in that forward pocket while, I don't know, Dougal Howard or the other new lad that we had in the other night, and his name escapes me just at the moment, but I thought he played very well. But why can't you have two ruckmen in the side?
Well, the answer to me is that you've got to have two ruckmen in the side. And West Coast, I know I'm harping back to West Coast a bit, but they seem to do things pretty well over on that Western Coast there. Because, I know Natanui's out now, but when you've got...
you haven't missed him because they got Lysett.
And they've had him all year long.
Yeah, you haven't really missed Nick Nat. I mean, he's a step up again, but this other guy's just sort of blended in, hasn't he?
Well, the story to me is that they can talk about all the recruits that you need, but if I was the team list advisor for Port Adelaide and the Crows, the first for both teams, the first thing I'd be going out and trying to do is find a ruckman.
Mm. And I see poor old Matty Lobe, he's struggling with a bit of mental health issues over in Melbourne. I don't know whether it's getting away... Or he's had him.
He's playing for Carl.
Yeah, well, that'd be enough. But, I mean, pretty sad story. I saw they had an interview on him the other night, and he had a quick chat. But he's obviously got mental health issues, and so hopefully he gets through that.
Well, I'm glad to see that the half-forward flank's been slotted to the great and
best
skilled...
Best small forward in
the competition, Robbie Gray.
Yep, and not a bad one on the other one, Patrick Dangerfield.
No, he's...
Ex-pro. Didn't quite make it.
It was Phil speaking then, team, not me.
Anyway, we've got a few, while we're on the AFL, we've got a few coaches that are sort of moving ship too, Rick. Ratten off to St Kilda after a good stint at Hawthorn, obviously head coach at Carlton for a couple.
Well, I think the thing is that it's a bit like everything that Hawthorn does. They do it really well. And even though he'd already been a head coach, he'd have learnt more at Hawthorn under Alistair Clarkson.
So
he will be a very much better coach for it now.
And really rate the St Kilda coach in Richardson.
Oh.
Just has not got the cattle.
That's right.
And Franco, gone.
Yes. Could go back teaching.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard
a
story.
He doesn't get a gig.
I've heard a story that he may well finish up at his old footy club.
What, Port?
Port Adelaide.
Really? Because he's looking to go to Gold Coast with Stewie Jew.
Right.
But if that doesn't go, he even said that he'll go back teaching. If it all falls flat, he's going back teaching.
Yeah.
Brenton Lade going back to Melbourne.
Well, know where he's gone to?
He's gone to, you have to
He's
tell
gone
me.
To St Kilda
St.
as
Kilda
well.
St Kilda as well. So that's with Richard. See, they're all sticking together, aren't they?
Well, they are. And it's interesting that, who knows the politics. There's politics, whether we're talking politics or footy or marbles or anything else. But it is a little bit surprising that he only lasted the year at Port. So,
yeah.
Magnificent. Those taps to Burgoyne, hey, over the back taps.
He's at Hawthorn, isn't he? Couldn't we have done with him the last 10 years?
Gee whiz. Well, we won't go there.
Another cat that got away. But anyway, quickly, Rick, yes. The local footy is only the one game.
There is.
Obviously, semi-finals this week.
Semi-final
that's
it is.
That's starting to sound USA, isn't it?
It is.
So we've got Williston v Barossa in the A grade.
Well, it is a very, very interesting game. I covered both games for the Bunyip, and it wouldn't be too often that a side can say that they've got a 2-0 lead in a season over Barossa. Williston have won both of them, and I've kept saying on this program, Barossa are, you know, they're ready to come good. Well, they haven't come good so far. And, they had a good win last week, but it was against nobody. I shouldn't really say that, but it wasn't against strong opposition.
No, it said South were ordinary.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm going to go for Williston.
No, I'm going Barossa. And I've heard by our old friend out there at Kapunda.
Yes.
Warren. That the oval is in tip-top condition, ready to go. He was over there this morning.
Oh,
absolutely
was he?
Beautiful.
Well,
yep.
There, folks, you've heard it, because I tell you what, when I was there a couple of weeks ago, you wouldn't have put cows out there.
And he said that. He said he almost had to apologise to you, Rick, state of the oval. But he was over there this morning. And I think for that reason, the Barossa big boys, I mean, obviously can't play, you know, two bad games in a row, can he? And then Milesy and you got
Shillabeer.
And Goodfellow, they just keep coming.
They do.
So I'll go for Barossa.
Well, isn't it funny? Because I've been supporting them all year long and now I've jumped off the wagon.
It's
my favourite Williston player that will be the
Firenze.
Difference. If Firenze can nullify Miles,
well,
then I think they've got a chance.
Barossa for me.
Okay, Williston will win by 18 points.
Barossa by 22.
All right, folks, that's been a good fun. I hope you've enjoyed it. And until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.